Hello, welcome back to the Finding Fulfillment Together podcast. My name is Rebecca Lemoine, and today I'm going to be sharing my testimony of becoming a Christian. This is definitely a surprise to many of you, likely, and it was definitely a surprise to me. So please hang in there. I'm going to be telling my entire story. Those of you who have been following my podcast, following my journey, know that I've gone through all kinds of different things. Much of my story has been based on New Age spirituality, trying to find myself, traveling the country. And I had a very profound experience where God spoke to me and told me that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So I'll get to that. but I want to tell my whole story. A lot of it will be a little bit redundant to those of you who have been following my journey. And there are previous episodes where I'm going to repeat some of the things that I've covered in those episodes. But I do feel like it's important for me to tell my whole story. So, okay, I'm going to start from the very beginning. In childhood, I was baptized as a baby. I was raised with two wonderful parents who love me very, very much and have supported me through everything. They both do believe in Jesus. As a child, my parents did go down different paths of religion, where my dad became a Jehovah's Witness. My mom stayed in the Christian church, in the Episcopal church. And I was taught about Jesus. I remember reading the Bible with my family at the dinner table, but it didn't really stick with me. I never formed a real relationship with God. I never really had what I considered to be a real religion for myself. I just kind of went through the motions, as you do when you're a child, of going to church with your parents and, doing what they tell you. But as I got older, it didn't really stick for me. So throughout my childhood, again, I didn't really have a solid religion of my own. I did end up going to college, and during college, of course, did what all college students do and partied and sexual promiscuity, all of those things as a college student doing what college students do. During that time, I was still curious about religion, and I did actually take a class on religion where they talked about all the different religions that are out there, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and kind of gave us a very brief background of each one. And I was super excited about this class because I was so curious about religion. And then at the end of that course, we had to give a presentation about our own beliefs if we felt like sharing. And I basically said during that presentation that I don't know. I don't know what I believe in. I want to have something to hang on to, but none of this really feels like it's for me. So I basically kind of left there as an atheist. Like, I just didn't believe in anything. I didn't really believe there was a God, and I would even say that I believed only what science could prove. And just basically said that I believe that we live this life and we die and our bodies decompose and that is it. There's no afterlife. I thought people believed in religion just to make themselves feel better about life and feel better about death. And that's how I went on with my life throughout my 20s. And then in my mid-20s, I did end up finding my future husband and fell in love, and was still in the party stage for sure. And I was new to my career. I was in pharmaceutical sales and loving it. I was just absolutely, making a lot of money. And that was my goal. My goal at that time was to be what I called successful. I wanted to have a successful career and a successful marriage, and I wanted everything to look good. My entire life, going back to childhood till now, really, my entire life, I've always been a people pleaser. I just wanted everyone around me to be happy. And what I was told was, get good grades and find a husband, buy a house, make good money, have a good career, climb that corporate ladder, make sure you have money in your bank account for retirement, all of those things. And that was my goal, was to be a good girl and make sure I did all of those things. And I began to really idolize money very much. I wanted to show off all the things that I had and all the things that I did, like fancy vacations that my husband and I used to take, and just, you know, always wanted the best of the best things and going to all the nicest restaurants. But it was, you know, just wanting to do the best of the best and to make sure everyone knew that I was doing what I was told to do and doing a good job at it. And even in my job, trying to do the absolute best that I always could. So that was my, I was just really idolizing money at that point in my life. In my 20s and 30s, really early 30s, still had no religion, did not believe in God, was just living for me personally, and to impress others around me. And then getting into my 30s, now I'm married at this point. My husband and I were married after we were together for 4 years. We got married in 2015. And our marriage was hard. We had an amazing time where we were partying and having, you know, doing all the things and making good money and building our careers and buying our homes. We had, we actually bought 3 different places together, one that we sold, one that we ended up renting out, and then the one that we lived in together. And then, drinking became a problem in our relationship. I started to kind of pull back. I didn't want to drink as much anymore, and I started to want to make myself healthy. I started to go to therapy. A big thing I started to learn is how to set boundaries and how to not be such a people pleaser, and how to learn, you know, what's important to me and to stand up for myself and to use my voice, which, of course, you know, is something that takes a long time to do. But I'm getting better at it every day, and I am still learning on that front. But I was able to start doing that in my marriage. And my husband at the time was really just deep in alcohol, and communication was not good. So long story short, our marriage fell apart. I do have a couple of episodes where I talk about this much deeper. So if you are wanting to hear that story, it's out there. But long story short, our marriage fell apart. And during this time, again, I was like really heavily working on myself, wanting to be the best version of myself that I can, and learning that I need to stop being such a people pleaser, because it doesn't help anyone. So then what happened was I ended up leaving home. And again, I do tell a more detailed version of this story, but I'm just going to kind of skip forward. I did end up leaving in October of 2021. And then shortly after that, only 2 weeks after I left home, my husband's father passed away. And this was a very traumatic time, like extremely, extremely traumatic for everyone involved. But of course, for my husband, who just lost, you know, his wife had just left, and now his father passed away. And I did not know what to do. I honestly did not know what to do. I knew that I did not want to go back home, but I also wanted to console my husband. I wanted to be there for him. I wanted to be there for his family. And I really, I can't even explain how hard of a time this was for me, for him, for the entire family. What I made the decision to do was to go be with his stepmother, who had just lost her husband. So I decided to drive down to South Carolina, where she was, and spend time with her. And at that time, my husband came down as well. You know, his father had just passed, of course. So the family, basically the whole family, got together. And it was hard. It was hard to kind of be there knowing, you know, that everything was going on with us, but wanting to just console the family. And I'm really glad that I was there. His wife's name is Maria, and she and I, since then, our relationship has blossomed in such a beautiful way, which I'll talk about her more throughout this story. But I ended up being there with him, with my husband, with his family, and things, you know, were hectic, but at the same time, somehow calm. Somehow everything was seeming to just work out exactly as it was supposed to. And it really just, I can't really explain how it was calm within the chaos. And some things started to happen to me during this time that I could not explain. An example is that I was helping Maria with figuring out the finances Her husband, my ex's father, was very, very good with his financial structure, making sure, like down to the penny, he kept his affairs in order. And I was helping her kind of figure out how she's going to take that over. So, you know, what's coming in every month, what's going out every month, what are the bills, and et cetera, et cetera. Luckily, his records were so good that it made it very, very easy for me, and hopefully, you know, now easy for her after I've walked her through everything. But there was one item that I couldn't figure out, and it was a certain amount that he was putting into savings every single month, and it was this a weird number. I'm obviously not going to give the number, but it was a weird number. It did not make any sense to me, and I was just like, okay, I guess I'll never figure that one out. And I honestly didn't put much thought into it. I knew that it was every single month that he was doing it, and I just told her that. I gave her the information, and then it, like a couple nights later, in the middle of the night, I was dead asleep, and boom, I woke up with a number in my head, and it was the amount that he was putting away in savings per year. And it was just an amount, and I knew right away what it was. And I divided that amount by 12, and it gave me the monthly number that I was seeing in the books. And I was just like, okay, wow. That came to me like out of nowhere. And I was obviously just very happy. And then I told Maria the next morning what it was, what the number was. And she completely agreed, like, oh my gosh, yes, that's it. And to me, it was like a miracle. But that was one of the many things that were happening to me that I just like, this is, I can't explain these things. So another thing that happened while I was there visiting Maria is that I went down to the beach by myself. I just needed to get away. I needed time for myself. It was obviously a very tumultuous time in my life. I loved my ex's father, you know, like he was my second father. He was a very good man to me, and we loved each other, and I still miss him very much to this day. So, you know, I had a lot of emotions that I was working through. So I ended up going down to the beach by myself and just kind of took a walk, and all of a sudden had this strong feeling that I needed to take a little vacation for myself, that I needed to just get away. And I kind of shook it off at first because I was like, no, I can't do that. You know, like I need to be here with Maria. It was actually Thanksgiving weekend. And I said, if I'm not going to stay and be here with Maria, then I need to go home and be with my family. You know, it's Thanksgiving. But it just would not go away. It persisted and persisted. And I said, oh, okay, you know what? All right, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to disappoint everyone. I'm going to put myself first for once, and I'm going to do this. And I decided to go ahead and book a weekend for me and my dog. I only had one dog at the time, me and my bulldog. And we booked a cabin in Virginia. And it was on a farm. It was in a beautiful area of Virginia. I think it was called DeLand, Virginia. And they had like beautiful farm-to-table restaurants. It was all a bunch of like really awesome farms in the area. And the cabin itself was just amazing. And it was seriously the most beautiful weekend, and it felt like it was divinely aligned. It truly, truly did. But so anyway, that kind of that feeling that I needed to get away from myself just overcame me, and the fact that I was disappointing everyone around me was not like me. Like that, I just feel like that didn't come from me. And beyond that, there was just this, it felt like there was everything around me was being orchestrated in the most beautiful way, in the most chaotic time of my life. And I ended up saying something to Maria about this. And I told her, you know, something just feels different. I was like, I'm really feeling like there's something beyond me that's around me, that's happening. And she is a religious woman. She is Christian. And she said to me, honey, that's God. And I kind of laughed it off, and I was like, maybe, you know. And I actually decided for a second, like, what if it is? You know, what if it is God? Let me just feel that out and see how that, you know, try that on for size. And it turns out, when I decided to open up and say, yeah, maybe there is a higher power, I started to feel it. I started to feel it in everything I looked at all around me. I was just like, wow, there is a God. And I just accepted it. I just, in that moment, just had faith. And then that night, I said to Maria, I said, So, because I knew she was Christian, I said, "So how do you become a born again Christian?" And I ended up like tears in my eyes, like asking this question because I had all this fear around even just asking that question. And I said, "Do I just say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior?" And she's like, "That's it. That's all you have to do." And she came around me and gave me a hug, and I was shaking and like crying, but I didn't accept it. I did not accept it in that moment. I believed there was a God, but I did not accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was very resistant to that. To me, religion and Christianity was just rules and closed-minded, and there was only one way, and I just could not accept that. So I was happy to accept that there was a God. For the first time in my life, at 37 years old, I was happy to accept that there is a God. But I could not accept that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Those words, I just couldn't get there. So I moved on from there and just had faith in God for the first time, which was really, really beautiful. And then this is all documented in my podcast up to this point. I've shared all of this, but because my podcast has really been about my spiritual awakening, and that's what I called it, is I was going through a spiritual awakening. For the first time, I believed in God, and I believed that God was leading me on the path that I was going down. And at this point, I was making the decision that I was just ready to be on my own, to go live my own life. And my husband and I had talked about traveling, and we were going to, when we retired, we were going to do van life together and, just live in a van and travel across the country. And he really put that on my heart, because it wasn't something that was in my dreams. It wasn't something I had pictured. But when we talked about it, and the more that I looked into it, the more I said, yeah, I want this life. I want to meet people. I want to travel. I want to spread joy and love all over the place. And then when I left him, there was kind of like a snowball effect that happened from that point forward, because I made the decision to leave, and I did not want to go back. I did not want to go back. I was ready to focus on myself. I was ready to learn and grow and heal, and I knew he needed to heal. He had a lot of healing to do. So I made the decision to leave and not go back. And then I made the decision that I was going to travel. So the other big thing that happened at the same exact time was I was going through some trouble, I would say, with my career. And I had talked about it in therapy for a long time, that I did not feel good about the industry that I was working in. I was in pharmaceuticals. I started out in sales and had moved my way up into marketing and was climbing the corporate ladder in pharmaceutical marketing, starting to make really good money, and starting to learn more and more and more about what goes on behind the scenes in pharmaceuticals. And I do have a whole episode where I talk about this, so I'm not going to get into all the details, but basically it was going against my morals on a regular basis, and I started to really not feel comfortable about my job. And I was starting to think about what else can I do for a career. And in this moment when I decided to leave home and got this like big urge to travel, I said, you know what? I think now's the time. I don't need to make all this money. I don't need to live in New Jersey. I can get a remote job. I can get a remote job doing anything. So I went on to a website called flexjobs.com, and I got a remote job in marketing, not in pharmaceuticals. It was for a tech company called Booksy. And I hit the road, and I just started traveling. And I started doing again this remote job, and I left my career. Now, before I get to the traveling part, I left my career. I mean, it was huge for me. I still can't believe that I did it. But it was what's best for my soul. I followed, really God's guidance, and I got out of a career that was not serving my soul. So that was huge. And the next thing that happened before I go into the traveling is I want to talk about the big step that I think what happened that led me away from Jesus. So what happened was my ex-husband and I decided that we were going to go drink ayahuasca. So we made a trip together. He wanted to do it to try to heal himself, thinking maybe he would find some answers on why he turned to alcohol so heavily. And he asked me to go with him. I was a little bit hesitant to go, but decided to go ahead and go with him and experience it. We had talked about it for a while. It was something we had wanted to do, and just decided to go ahead and let's do this. We were not together. We were separated. Like we were, you know, I wasn't living at home, and but we did decide to go together. We were talking, you know, we were really seeing if things were going to work out or not, and decided, okay, let's go drink ayahuasca. Now, I have episodes where I talk about ayahuasca, and I have one specifically where I talk about my first experience, and I won't give every single detail here, but I can tell you, it feels absolutely magical. And I mean, everyone's journey is different, but my journey, my first time drinking ayahuasca, I went there with very, very little spiritual knowledge. I went there, I had just started believing in God. So I was kind of a clean slate. And I received during my journey lots of information about spirituality. I was told that we're all connected, you know, that everything is powered by our love. I was shown how strong I am as an individual and how bright my light is. I was shown how I can charge myself in the sun. I was told how to take care of my body by eating, you know, healthy foods. And I was really shown how we're connected with the planet, and how we are all this energy that feeds our planet. And you really, when you're with ayahuasca, you take this drink and you are brought to the spiritual realm. And to me, it is a very real thing. It is not hallucination. I mean, you are hallucinating. You're on a psychedelic, but you are brought to a spiritual realm that is very real. And what you are told is you are given real thoughts, and real things are put into your mind. It's not like fake, you know, and it's very, very real, and it changes you. And I now believe that it is dangerous, which I will get back to. But this experience, I walked out of there feeling reborn, feeling like an angel, feeling like I had been wrapped in a mother's love, and it was truly magical. And I ended up winning. They do this raffle, and I ended up winning a free trip to come back and drink again and drink ayahuasca again. So this was in February of 2022, and I booked the second trip, my free one, to be for December of 2022. And then this is when I came back home and did not go back to live with my husband. Actually, ayahuasca told me to let him be, to let him heal. That she was going to take care of him, and I needed to focus on myself, and I needed to heal myself. So I followed that guidance, and I bought an RV, and I moved into the RV, like I said, and I officially moved into it April of 2022, and started traveling with my remote job. I started traveling around the country, visiting national parks. I was doing a program called WWOOF, which is a farming trade program where they let you stay on their farm and you kind of trade hours of working for a free place to stay. So I did a lot of those. I met so many amazing people. So many amazing people. One of the most interesting things about my traveling is that I kept running into people who had miraculous spiritual stories, and the majority of them were Christian. And the majority of them were telling me how God led them to change their lives. And I felt as though God was leading me to change my life as well and was guiding me on this journey. So I really connected with these people and I loved hearing their stories. I feature one of them in one of my episodes, Greg Knott and his wife Tammy, who became buffalo ranchers from a calling from God. And I just absolutely loved these stories. It strengthened my faith in God. It made me just feel so good that I was on the right path and that, you know, I was going to be led to where I was meant to be as well. So I just absolutely loved meeting these people. And during this time, as I'm traveling in my RV and meeting all these people and working from the road and doing all the things, I really started to dive into New Age spirituality. And when I say New Age spirituality, it's really a combination of a lot of things. It's believing that there's a higher power, and really taking a lot of things from Buddhism and Hinduism and getting into mindfulness. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a religion, because that's really what most people say is you're spiritual, not religious. You just believe that there's a higher power and that you can heal yourself by doing these mindfulness practices, by doing meditation and yoga and breath work and all the things that I've talked about on my podcast. So if you've been listening to this, you know exactly what I've been into because I've been talking about it quite a bit. So I really dove in. I read tons of books. I mean, I'm a person that when I get into something, I want to know all of it. I dive in. So that's what I was doing. And every week I was joining an integration call where people who drank ayahuasca would get on this call and we would all share our story of where we are and where what we're struggling with. And because when you drink ayahuasca and you go to this spiritual realm, and you are in this bubble of love. It truly is a bubble of love. Coming back into everyday life is really hard. And so, and integrating everything that you learned while on ayahuasca into this everyday life is really, it's really not easy. So it's helpful to have other people to talk to and work through what you're going through, and know that you're not crazy, that there is a spiritual world, that you are going on this journey and it is hard, and you know that we all need each other to help each other through. So I did those integration calls and just continued to learn more and get deeper and deeper in all the things that I was doing. And really became obsessed with what I called raising my consciousness. I wanted to get as close to God as I could. I wanted to communicate with God and learned through all the things that I was reading and listening to that I could do that if I did all of these practices, if I meditated every day, if I did yoga every day, if I did breath work every day, and if I, you know, sat with God, that I could raise my consciousness to a level where I could get to a point where I can leave my body, leave my physical body, and be in the spiritual realm with God. So I really got deep, and I was doing 5 hours of practices every morning. And interestingly enough, one of those practices was reading the Bible because I was curious about Christians and I was curious about Jesus. The whole time, I was curious about Jesus. And I just, but I looked into everything, and where I found that I was having the best feeling, where I was felt like I was really getting to this point of full peace and mindfulness and calm, was when I was doing meditation and doing yoga. But there was no end. I kept adding more and more and more and more, and there was no moment of satisfaction. There was little bits of moments where it's like this feels good and that feels good. But you have to do it every day, and you have to make it a practice, and you have to, you know, it's constant, it's work. I called it doing the work. And you have to do it every day if you want to remain connected. And I did. I wanted to remain connected. I was obsessed with remaining connected. It became my life goal was to connect with God, and I used all these practices to do that. So one of the things that I ended up really getting into was meditation. And I decided I wanted to do a meditation course that was 10 days of silence. I thought 10 days of silence was going to be absolutely amazing. It's exactly what I wanted. I wanted no distractions, no phone, no computer, no responsibility, just 10 days of silence. And I found it with a course in Vipassana meditation. So I signed up for it and I did that. And I do have a couple of episodes where I talk about that experience, and it truly was beautiful. What I did not mention in that in those videos, or to anyone, was that I had a very profound dream during that meditation, and I'm going to go ahead and tell that dream now. So I believe it was on. It was actually two parts, and I'll tell both. So the first night, I believe it was night 6 or 7 of the meditation, I was woken up out of my sleep. Like, again, I was asleep and just woken up with this bursting feeling in my chest. Like I was filled with this energy in my chest, and it felt amazing. It felt like love. It felt like when I was like on ayahuasca and I was filled with this love in my heart, but it was bursting out of me. And I woke up and was like, whoa, like, what is this? And then I kind of like settled back down for a second and closed my eyes, and I saw this glowing gold cross And that's all I saw in my vision was a glowing gold cross. And I was like, okay. And I took this as thinking that I was achieving Christ consciousness. And that's something that is talked about in New Age and all the things I was talking about, raising my consciousness. You taught it's called becoming achieving Christ consciousness. And that's what I believed that Jesus had done, or that Buddha had done, and that Krishna and all the other what were called ascended masters had achieved was Christ consciousness. And that's what I wanted to, it was kind of like the dream of all dreams is to get to Christ consciousness. And that's what I thought was the symbol of this cross was telling me that I'm starting to get there. And it felt amazing. Then the next night, or maybe 2 nights later, it was still during this meditation retreat. It was, I think, seven or eight, night seven or eight. I had a very, very vivid dream. And I don't typically have vivid dreams. I don't typically remember my dreams, but this one was very vivid. And so what happened was in the dream, I was driving. And I was on the middle of a big highway, like a four-lane highway that was filled with cars. And God spoke to me. And he said, "Get out of your car and stop traffic." And I said, okay. I immediately knew that it was God talking to me, so I did not question it. And I got out of my car and I put my hands out to the sides as wide as I could. And I just got nervous as anything, got in the middle of the highway, and the cars started stopping. And I'm like, okay, it's working, like traffic is stopping. And now all the traffic stopped across all the four lanes of the highway. All the traffic was stopped. And I'm sitting there, like with my hand still out, like, okay, now what? And then the cops came and they were like, "Hey, lady, what are you doing?" And I'm just like, God told me to stop traffic. And they, of course, were like, "Okay, you're crazy," and get out of the road. And they brought me down to the station. And now a few things happened, and this is frustrating to me, and I'll get back to it later, but a few things happened in the dream that I couldn't remember. So, but I'll tell you the part that I do remember. So what happens is I'm down at the station, and the cops are still like trying to figure out what to do with me because a lot of things had happened from me stopping traffic. There was a lot of cars. I'm sure there was accidents. Again, these are the things I can't remember, so I'm not going to make them up. But there was a series of events that happened, and the cops were upset with me. Now, they get on the phone with a 911 dispatcher who had taken some of the calls from people that were in this traffic jam. And they told the 911 dispatcher why I had stopped traffic. They said God spoke to her and told her to stop traffic. And the dispatcher says, whoa, wait a minute. God spoke to me too. And he told me to tell her and to tell everyone that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior." And this dispatcher was not a believer in Jesus, and he immediately became one in that moment. And he gave the message to me, and then I woke up. So from this dream, I wake up with the message that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And immediately I just got angry because I couldn't remember every detail of the dream. And I was like, whoa, I'm not just going to accept that as the truth. I need to know what the whole dream was about. I need to know who was saved and why. I did know that a woman's life was saved from me stopping traffic. That information was given to me. But outside of that, I'm like, no, I don't have enough information for this to be truth for me. Like, and I just didn't believe it. And I just said, it's a dream. It is what it is. And I moved on. And I told my story about the meditation retreat and left that out. I just did not tell anyone about that. And which is crazy because it was a clear message. So now this is early January. And I kind of continue on with my life, go visit some friends, go do my things. And I ended up traveling down to South Carolina to visit Maria. And I had visited her a couple of times before this, in between when I was first there, when her husband passed away, to now, basically there at least once a year. So now it's February of this year, of 2024. And I was there the first week of February. And I decided to tell Maria about this dream. It just kind of came up in my mind. We were at lunch and I said, oh, let me tell you about this dream I had. I thought she'd, you know, she'd like it. And as I'm telling her the message that I received, when I said the words, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, I felt it in my body so deeply, and I had tears streaming down my face as I'm telling her. I knew it was the truth. I just knew it with every part of my being, but I still resisted, and I still was like, no, wait, it can't be true. All these other things I've been doing feel so real. Jesus can't be the only way. I still, even though my soul, my body, everything knew it was true, I was still resisting it. And I said to Maria, all of my concerns, I was like, how could I, after all the things that I've said on my podcast, all of the things that I have done, all of the friends I have made through the ayahuasca community, how can I now say that Jesus is the only way? I just can't. And, you know, I fought it. I did. I fought it still. And, but I had a beautiful time with Maria, and we talked a lot about Jesus, and it was really, really beautiful. Then I had plans, and I had left Maria's, and I drove over to visit friends in Mississippi. And these were friends who I know from the ayahuasca community. So of course, you know, we're talking a lot about psychedelics. We're talking a lot about, all the things that we have in common, you know, ayahuasca and, all that. And I mean, I was still enjoying the conversation, of course. And their neighbor actually was over one night, and he asked us, because he had never drank ayahuasca, and he asked us, what are you searching for? And I thought it was a very good question, because I was searching, you know, I was searching and seeking God. And I said that I was searching for peace. That was my answer. And it really got me to think, because I was like, have I found peace? In all of the searching that I have done and all of the things that I have done, to be honest with you, I was finding stress. I found it like a little stressful to do 5 hours of work every morning and to know that like there was still more. I kept finding more things to add on to the list of things to read and practices to do and styles of breath work to do and retreats to go on and more psychedelics to do, right? Because ayahuasca is not the only one. There's Bufo and there's Iboga and there is just endless. There's DMT. I mean, there's just endless psychedelics, mushrooms, of course, which I had done several times. You know, it just feels like there's always something. You keep wanting to go back for more, and you keep wanting to add more practices to the list so that you can connect with God. There's this hunger I think innately in everyone's heart, there's a hunger to know God. And we're in the New Age community, in New Age spirituality, I was trying to fill that God-shaped hole in my heart with all of these things. I just wanted to be connected to God. And I started to think to myself, what if it's Jesus? What if the answer I'm looking for is in the Bible? What if the Word of God is truly, if the Bible truly is the Word of God? And I had been reading the Bible, but I hadn't been believing that it was the Word of God. I'd been believing it was, you know, tales told by men that got translated so many times that they weren't even the same, and they were fables, and they were written, it wasn't literal, and, you know, it was written just to teach lessons to people and to keep people, you know, morally good. But I did not believe it was the Word of God. And I started to think, what if? And God bless Maria. For 2 years, the whole 2 years that I've been on this spiritual journey, she had been talking to me about Jesus. And I had been resistant to her every step of the way. I mean, I can't tell you how many times she said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I just every time would roll my eyes. Like, there's no way that he's the only way. I would not believe it. So finally, I came around and thought, what if? What if God was talking to me in that dream? What if he wants me to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? So I just was like, I'm going to try this out. Like, Why do I believe in everything else? Why do I believe in the spiritual realm and all of these things that I've experienced, but I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in the Bible? And what I've found throughout my journeys is that the people that I met along the way and all the Christians that I met along the way, they knew their God and they knew how to talk to their God and they knew how to listen to their God. And in the New Age spirituality, everyone's, I don't know. We don't really know what happens after this life, but we can just try to be the best we can be. And you really are told to kind of become your own God because you are told that you're in control and that you have the power inside of you. And while that seems beautiful and seems great, I believe it's taking us away from the one true God. And I finally accepted that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And I just sank into it. And from that moment forward, it's just been absolutely amazing. I was actually driving. Well, quickly, I was supposed to go from Mississippi. I was supposed to go down to Florida and volunteer at an ayahuasca ceremony for a weekend with a few of my friends. And I had this pull that said, don't do it. Don't go there and go home. Just go home and go rest in God. And I said, and you know, I was definitely coming around to Jesus at this point. And I said, okay, I won't go to Florida. And I hated it because I had to let down my friends and I had to let down, you know, the volunteer coordinator and tell everyone I wasn't going to go. And I really hated it, but I did it. And I said, I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to go home. I'm getting an urge to just go home. I was honest with them in that regard. And on my drive from Mississippi to West Virginia, where my parents live, it was February 22nd of 2024, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I said, that's it. I believe. I'm ready to let you in. I'm ready to read the Bible and know that it is your word. I'm ready to stop judging. And I was listening to all of these podcasts and listening to worship music and listening to the Bible. And I just, everything felt unbelievably right. Like I had found the answer I had been searching for all along. Oh my gosh. And I can't even describe what it's been like since that moment. It's just been like this flood of realizations of how I have been on the wrong path and now I have found the right one. And I've reached out to lots of people that I met along the way who were Christians and told them all that I have, accepted Jesus. And I'm telling you, almost every one of them told me that they had been praying for me. They told me that they knew I was seeking him and that they prayed I would find him. And I'm just so grateful. I realized I had this army of people praying for me, and it's the best feeling ever. It's the best feeling ever. And there are a few, like I do kind of want to mention a few of them that I met along the way, because it's just so incredible that I had this army of people. So there was Greg and Tammy in Colorado. These are the Buffalo Ranchers that I mentioned. There was David and Melissa in Wyoming at Davisa Horse Refuge. Mercy and Keith in Minnesota. I'm going to get back to Mercy. I have more I want to tell you about Mercy. My Aunt Linda and Uncle Dave, when I went to visit them in Chicago, we talked a lot about spirituality and they shared their faith with me. And I even went to church with my aunt, and I was not a believer in Jesus at the time, but I did go with her to a Christian church. My aunt and uncle, we connected on a way that we never have before. Man named Matt that I met in Montana. He's now in Oregon. He told me he was praying for me. Ziamara, who I met in New Jersey, who's now in Georgia. When I reached out to her, oh my gosh, I thought she about fell on the floor. She was crying. She's so happy that I've come to Jesus. My cousin Lisa, who now I talk to regularly, and we had talked about spirituality over Thanksgiving when I saw her down in Texas. And again, you know, I talked to her about my spiritual awakening and she was talking to me about Jesus. And we weren't exactly on the same level, but we shared hearts, and she was praying for me. And then, of course, Maria. Maria has been the whole time, not even just praying for me with her whole, you know, group of women that she prays with all the time, but she has been speaking Jesus to me for 2 years and I did not hear it. I mean, there were so many times where I actually got mad at her because she told me I was going down the wrong path. And I just thought she didn't understand. She doesn't understand ayahuasca. She doesn't understand meditation. She doesn't understand the things I'm doing. She can't know. And she did know. She knew the whole time. And I'm just grateful for her for not giving up on me. And she tells me all the time that it was the Holy Spirit speaking through her. He was reaching out to me and she doesn't take the credit for it. But, you know, I'm grateful for her and, of course, for the Holy Spirit. So what I want to actually, the one thing I do want to mention about Mercy is that she reached out to me after meeting me in Minnesota. We met each other very briefly. We had a mutual friend there that introduced us. And we talked, of course, about spirituality. She's very, you know, religious. She's Christian and she is with Jesus very much so. And she, you know, loved my story and kept in touch with me. And she did tell me about the series, The Chosen. And I was curious about Jesus the whole time, even though I didn't believe it, I was curious. I wanted to know more about his life. I wanted to know more about what everyone believed about Jesus. I read some books, you know, about him, but, you know, and I was reading the Bible, but I wasn't reading it believing it was truth. I was really judging it. But anyway, so I watched The Chosen and I was touched by that series. And I finally more so understood who Jesus was and what his purpose was and his message. And I aligned with, I loved Jesus in this series. I'm just like, wow, like what an amazing human. Like how could I, you know, never thought anything negative about Jesus, but it really helped me to understand more about what his message was. And then actually it was, a suggestion from Mercy that helped me to read the Bible because she taught me about a podcast called 3-in-1, where I was reading or am still reading 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 1 chapter of the New Testament every day. You do it 5 days a week. And if you stick to that, you read the Bible within a year. And every day there's a podcast episode. It's a less than 15-minute podcast episode where a pastor talks about what you just read. So you kind of get a little bit of an explanation about what you read. And it has helped me tremendously. I have stuck with it. And I started reading it in May of 2023, and now it is March of 2024. And next month in April, I will be done and will have read the entire Bible. Now, mind you, I've only been a believer for 1 month. It is March 18th, and I became officially, you know, gave myself to Jesus on February 22nd. So it's been less than a month of me being a believer while reading the Bible. And let me tell you, the difference of reading the Bible when you truly believe in the words, when you believe that it is the word of God, life changing. I mean, it comes to life. And now I understand how Christians say that because it is just everything you need. All the answers you are seeking are in one book. And coming from New Age, where it just seems like nothing really has the answer, this kind of sounds good and that sounds good, and I'm going to put this with that and put these things together. In Christianity, when you come to the one true God, it's all in one book and you can rest. The work, all the work goes away. All you have to do is pray and read the Bible and be with God. It's like, and all the answers are there. Everything you're seeking, all that beautiful connection to God that I was seeking, that's all I have to do. And I have it, you know, I'm there. So anyway, just super beautiful. So I'm grateful for Mercy. Please, again, I love you. Thank you so much for leading me to 3-in-1 and for being my sister in Christ and not giving up on me and for praying for me. And I'm going to see you soon in Minnesota. So now I want to talk a little bit about my new beliefs regarding New Age and regarding ayahuasca. So two major things have changed that have changed my beliefs. One is that I believe the Bible is the word of God. And two is I believe in evil. I believe in Satan. I believe that in the spiritual world, there's a lot of evil. So those two beliefs have gotten me to really think much differently about everything that I've been doing. Satan is the god of this world. The world that we live in with our physical bodies, Satan is the god of this world. So really, anything that's not of God is evil, is of Satan. So we have to be very, very careful with everything that we're doing. And now I realize that when we give up control of our body and our mind through taking psychedelics like ayahuasca or psilocybin or any psychedelic, or really by getting too drunk or getting high, smoking marijuana, when we give up control, we are opening ourselves up to the spiritual realm, where Satan now can really enter. He has an army of angels, of fallen angels, an army of the enemy that is here on this earth. And when we open ourselves up like that and we release control, it's risky, very, very risky. And what we're shown is not from God. So even though, and I know this is so hard to hear because I was just there very recently, even though it feels so good and you feel like you're getting healing and you're getting answers and you're getting love and you're getting all of the things that you thought you needed and you feel connected with God, I believe that it is deceit. I believe it is a very, very crafty, deceitful way that the enemy gets through to us and keeps us coming back for more. And in doing that, we are led away from the one true God, led away from belief in Jesus. Because I can tell you, in New Age spirituality, pretty much anything goes. You can say, I believe in this, I believe in that, and take this from here and that from there. But if you say that you are a Christian and that you believe that Jesus is the only way, you're not going to get a lot of people to agree with you on that. And really, Jesus isn't talked about very much at all. And I think it's by design. I think it's deceit. Maria told me once that I was being led by Satan, and I did not believe her. I was so resistant to that. I was like, she does not get it. And now I believe her. And I am so sorry to all of the people that I have recommended to go drink ayahuasca, to God. I'm so sorry that I went down the wrong path and that I fell for this deceit. And I repent for those sins. And I know that Jesus is the only way. And it is really tricky because, again, it feels so good. And you do feel like you're getting the answers that you're seeking. But honestly, you're not getting to the only answer, the one true God. You're not being told to have faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that is the ploy. It's to keep you just enough off of the truth. It's not that it's fake. You are communicating with spirits. You are being given this information from a spirit, but it's just deceitful. I don't believe that there's no healing that's done, because I've seen some miraculous thing happen and I have seen healing occur from psychedelics. But the only thing that could truly heal you, lasting healing, where you won't have to go back and drink again, you won't have to go back and do the next thing, is to have faith in Jesus. Because you do want to keep going back. You get, once you're far away from it long enough, especially I can speak for ayahuasca, you want to go back and drink again. You want to get reconnected with God, with Jesus, with the Bible. You can reconnect anytime you want. Anytime you want, you just pray and you're connected with God. He speaks right through you. And the Holy Spirit, that is the most exciting part of it all. Because when you truly believe, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. So not all these false, deceitful, fake spirits that you've been communicating with in the spiritual realm, but the one true God, the Holy Spirit, comes into your body and you can communicate with it. And you form a relationship with God. It's unlike anything else that I've tried. And for me, it is the truth that I have been seeking. So, you know, those are my new beliefs about the New Age. I can talk more about it, and I probably will on future episodes. Please, you know, let me know what you have questions about. I know that for some of you, this is all going to be really hard to hear. You're going to think I've fallen off the deep end, and you may not want to listen to my podcast anymore, because I am going to be talking about Jesus, and I am going to be talking about the Bible. But I pray that you stay and that you are open-minded and think, you know, maybe, what if? What if? Because that's what got me, is when I thought, what if? And here I am, you know. So really what's next for me is that I'm going to keep going down this path. You know, I'm going to keep building my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to keep doing this podcast. I hope to do to feature testimonies of other people that have come to Jesus. And if you would like to be one of them, please let me know. I would love to talk to you if you have become Christian and come from New Age. I have listened to a ton of these testimonies from other people, and they have certainly inspired me to share my story. You know, I'm definitely scared to put this out there. I'm not going to lie, because this is so different and it was very unexpected. But it is my truth, and I'm proud to speak it, and I am proud to say that I am a daughter of God, and I am forming a relationship with Jesus. So the last thing I want to say before I end this is, if you are ready, if you have decided that you are ready to accept Jesus into your life, I promise you, he has been waiting for you. Just like I was seeking him, he was waiting for me. He was looking for me too. And I promise you, he cannot wait to hold you in his arms and accept you back home, to welcome you back home, and the heavens will rejoice when you do. So if you are ready, if you're like, yes, I am ready, I would like for you to please repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you have died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you for hanging in for the whole video. Please leave a comment. I would love to hear from you. And this podcast is going to pick back up weekly. I've taken a little bit of a break to kind of come into my relationship with Jesus, but now I'm ready to speak my truth. So I will see you all soon. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.